Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. The name of the message tonight is called The Inexhaustible Barrel. The Inexhaustible Barrel. And tonight we'll look at the prophet Elijah being sent to the widow of Zarephath. And we'll see that she was an object of divine love by God's choice, by God's method, and by God's faithfulness, just as every single one of God's elect are. Every one of His people. Look at 1 Kings, and we'll read verses 8 to 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make after for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now amidst God's judgments and wrath, mercy, God remembers mercy. Mercy. Divine love is visible when it shines in the midst of trials and judgments. And as the Lord preserves his people, divine love is manifested and magnified. And God's love and care for his people is an oasis for them. It's an oasis for God's people. Well, living in this world and seeing God's judgments fall, because we do, we see God's judgments fall and pass amongst others. But we also see God's love and faithfulness for his people. We see it all the time. And it is a great comfort for his people when he tries our faith. And he does. He tries our faith. We come to know through trials of our faith, we come to know that he is ever supporting us and that he is ever with us. And the promise of I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee becomes very real for the believer. Very real. And it's usually amidst the trials and troubles which we go through in this life. In the passage tonight, we'll look at three main points. The objects of divine love, the method of divine love, and the grace of God, the method of divine love, or the grace of God in its dealings, and the faithfulness of divine love. Now in the East, during biblical times, the people kept their corn, or their meal, the flour in earthen jars, earthen vessels. They kept their corn in earthen jars to protect it from insects, to protect it from insects which would swarm, and to protect it also from the heat of the sun. They lived in a desert area. And so they kept their corn and their flour in earthen vessels. And what in our text is called a barrel here, is one of those vessels. The Hebrew word for barrel is translated jar, large jar, portable, so they could carry it around if they wanted to. But this is what they kept their corn in or their flour in to protect it. And it's also generally of earthenware, a jar for domestic purposes, a barrel or a pitcher. So the meal, which is in our text, is actually flour in Hebrew, in the barrel was run very low, and there was only a handful left. There was only a handful left. Yet, this handful was multiplied by the power of God. The same way that the loaves and fishes were multiplied by our Lord. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It was multiplied by the power of God, and it was so sufficient that it fed three people. Elijah, the widow, and her son. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now turn, if you would, one chapter over. The land of Israel had fallen into idolatry. Turn, if you would, to 1 Kings 16, verses 29 to 34. The land of Israel had fallen into idolatry. And we see in the latter part of chapter 16, verses 29 to 34, and we note that Ahab is ruling and that he has brought forth Baal worship, which his wife Jezebel, the son of the king of the Zidonians, worshipped. Look at 1 Kings 29 to 34. And in the 38th year of King Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Above all that were before him, he was worse than any other king. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the son of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So now he's worshipping Baal. And he's brought that idolatry to Israel. And it came from Jezebel. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof and Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. So the nation of Israel is now infected. It's now infected. They've turned from the living God to worship Baal. But let us always remember that God always has a remnant according to the election of grace. Always. And you see that for further study, if you want to see that in 1 Kings 19:18. 7,000 there were that had not bowed the knee to Baal. So God always has a remnant. He always has a remnant. Now note, Elijah had been fed by the brook Cherith and would not leave until God had told him. And we see that in, turn again now, if you would, to chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. And we're looking at this to set up what is going to occur in our text tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So he was told by God to go to this brook. Now look what happens while he is there. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, fresh water, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Another miracle. ravens are going to feed him. They're going to bring him food. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went down by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread, just like God said, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It's another miracle. But look what happens in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there would be no rain in the land. Now Elijah is told in the next verse to go to a city that is under the dominion. Now this city, Zarephath, that he's commanded to go to, is under the dominion of Jezebel's father, the king of the Zidonians. He's told to go into enemy territory. But remember, God is absolutely sovereign. And God sends his prophet into the very city where his enemies, the heart of Baal worship. But what a picture. Think of this. What a picture we have here before us of the election of grace, including Jew and Gentile. He's told to go to a Gentile city. What a picture, beloved. He's told to go to a widow. A Gentile widow. A Gentile widow. And it's by the command of God. And of course, he's God's prophet. He's going to obey the Lord's command. Look at verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now let us see in our text here, and the ones following, the objects of divine love. The objects of divine love. God's sheep, God's people are of his choosing. His choosing. God is the one who chooses his people. Scripture is very plain about that. And Christ died upon the cross to purchase those people by the shedding of his own precious blood. Now, none of God's sheep, when they're born into this world, know that they are the objects of divine mercy. We have no clue. I didn't have a clue. Sister, we didn't have a clue, did we, when we come into this world, that we were objects of divine mercy? We had no idea. Growing up, we had no idea that we were objects of divine mercy. But God knew. He knows. He knows his people from eternity. He's God. He's God. If he didn't know his people from eternity, he wouldn't be God. But he's God. And until the Lord converts his sheep, they don't have a clue who he is. They don't have a clue. They're objects of divine mercy. But when the Lord saves them, oh, it's revealed to us that we are objects of divine love, objects of divine mercy. And we find out from Scripture that we were chosen in eternity, in Christ. Objects of divine love and mercy from eternity. And think of this, if it's from eternity, which it is, then it's based nothing upon us. It's all God's choosing. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely marvelous. Turn, if you would, to Luke. Luke chapter 4. And we will see in the Gospel of Luke the divine love which is manifested in our text, because it speaks of our text in Luke chapter 4, verses 24 to 26. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when heaven was shut up, 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. So there was many widows in the land of Israel during the time of our text. But look at the next verse. But unto none of them was Elias sent. Elijah wasn't sent to them. Save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And that's speaking of our text tonight. He was sent to the widow of God's choosing. Of God's choosing. Because the text says, it says there were many widows in the land of Israel in verse 25. in 26, but unto none of them was Elias sent. This is God's distinguishing grace right here before us. In Mark, mark, beloved, how sovereign is the choice of this widow. Even in our text. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Sovereign mercy. Sovereign choice. Many widows in Israel, and yet God has mercy upon this Gentile woman. This Gentile widow. Oh, but let us remember this, that God's eye has been upon her since eternity. And if you're a sheep of God, God's eye has been on you since eternity. That's something for us to just ponder, isn't it? She's one of the Lord's sheep. And what a picture of divine love. I ask you this, can anyone understand the mysteries of divine election? I can't. I'm learning, but I'm just scratching the surface. It's marvelous to think that God has loved the believer in Christ from eternity. To think that His love and mercy has been set upon me from eternity, a sinner. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We'll look at another object of divine love and mercy. A woman who is in the land of Canaan, a Gentile, just like the widow in our text. And what a manifestation of divine love and mercy is on display in this text here coming up. Matthew chapter 15. Verses 21 to 28. Now think of this too. God's eye has been set upon His people from eternity. Just keep that in mind as we read these texts, because that's a truth. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him. This is a Gentile one, remember? Saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Now notice what she calls Him. She calls Him Lord. She calls Him Lord, beloved. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Oh, she's been taught something. She's been taught something by the Holy Spirit of God. She calls Him Lord, and she calls Him thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after. She was crying after them. And they're getting annoyed. Look at His answer. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Again, she calls Him Lord, beloved. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. This is one of His sheep from eternity, beloved. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And she said, truth, Lord, yea, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She was in complete submission to the Lord. Oh, my. And she's an object of divine love and mercy. And that's a manifestation right there of His love and mercy. And this happens to every one of God's saints. And God has mercy on whom He will have mercy. And God has hid these precious truths. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 11. God has hid these precious truths, God's electing grace and God's divine mercy and love, from the wise and the worldly wise and the noble of the world. And He's revealed them unto babes, which He calls His people. And praise His mighty name. We know from our calling that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has called the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that the glory goes to the Lord. Now, foolish there doesn't mean dumb people. It doesn't mean that. I like what Brother Henry Mahan brought out. It means common people. Common people. That's me. That's me. You save common people. He saves those who are needy, and He shows us our need. Look at Matthew 11, verse 25 to 26. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. He reveals them unto His sheep, unto His people. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. So now remember, there was many widows in Israel, but He didn't send Elijah there, did He? No, He sent them to the widow of His choosing. He sent them to the widow of His choosing. Oh my. Now some men hate the doctrine of divine sovereignty, but I'll tell you this. Those who are called by grace, those who are saved by the grace of God in Christ, those who are saved by sovereign divine mercy, they know that if it had not been for God's sovereignty, they never would have been saved. I know that. I never would have come to Christ unless He drew me to Him. Because I know I had no interest in Christ before the Lord saved me. I was too busy taking care of self. And I was so full of self-righteousness and so full of pride. But God humbled me, and that's what He does to His people. He brings us low, doesn't He? He brings us low, and He brings us to the feet of Christ. Oh, we who are saved love divine sovereignty, love divine mercy, marvel in divine love. Let's look at verses 10 to 12. Again, it's proclaimed that this woman is a widow. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, was there gathering the sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So this widow woman, we're going to see, is an object of God's divine mercy. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, she calls him Lord. She's a Gentile woman, but yet God has revealed Himself to her. And that's amazing. She lives in the land of idol worshippers. That's where I was. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal, which is flour again in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat and die. Now ponder how undeserving this widow is. She's no Ruth, she's no Jael, she's no Hannah, but she dwelt, and to put things on top of that, she dwelt in a land where they worshipped idols, and she had probably been raised up in idol worship, no doubt. But yet God has mercy on her. God has mercy on her. God has revealed Himself, obviously. She says, "The Lord thy God liveth." And she knows who Elijah is, and knows her condition. Note her condition. Notice the condition this widow was in. Her husband's died. Her husband's died. Left her, from what we can see, no inheritance. And now she's suffering through a famine, which has fallen upon not only the land of Israel, but also this area too of the world. And it's also fallen upon all her neighbors as well. But her husband has been taken from her. He died. So she has misery on top of misery. She has nothing. And the fact that she's gathering sticks to burn as firewood means that she can't even afford to have anyone else gather it for her. She doesn't have any servants. And she can't even afford to pay someone to go out and gather sticks for her. And one commentator said, her son is obviously so weakened that he couldn't help her because he would have probably been out there helping her. But he must be at home almost dying. And they're getting ready to eat their last meal. There's only a handful of flour left, a handful of meal left. This is where sovereign grace finds us, right here, in the depth of spiritual poverty and misery. And it's all because of our sin. This is where sovereign mercy and grace finds us. We are brought to an end of ourselves before we come to Christ. And think upon this. As long as we have a full barrel of our own merits, God will have nothing to do with us. There's a lot of people out there who have a full barrel of their own merits, supposedly. So long as the cruse of oil is full to overflowing by our own works, one will never taste the mercy of God. Never. For God will not fill us until we are emptied of ourselves. And this is the condition that grace finds us in right here. Right here. Remember the leper? He preached on the leper in Matthew. He was full of leprosy. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he said, I will. And he was made clean. This is the condition that God finds us in, that sovereign grace finds us in, that the Holy Spirit finds us in when he draws us to Christ. And we are spiritually poor and desolate by sin. And then God has mercy upon us. Now the drought and famine in Israel, again, had extended to this area. Obviously we see that. But in the midst of God's wrath and judgment, God's mercy is on display. God's mercy is on display to his people. He extends mercy to his people. Now Israel had renounced God and was worshiping Baal. And God in his providence had allowed Jezebel to go to Israel. And she had taught them Baal worship. He allowed that to happen. He allowed them to follow false idols and allowed them to plunge into idolatry. He left them to themselves. What does God have to do for a man to go to hell? Leave him alone. What does God have to do for a man to be saved? Everything. Salvation is of the Lord. He must save us. He must save us. He must. But here amidst the famine, we see God providing for the objects of his love. So let us ponder and keep an eye to Christ here, beloved, of how God has provided for us all we need in Christ, because he is our inexhaustible barrel. He is. Christ is. And only in him do we have forgiveness of sins, and only in him are we complete. Notice, there was a taking before there was a giving. Look at 1 Kings verses 10 to 15. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Bring me water and bring me bread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. That's what the believer can stand before God and hear, fear not, because we are clothed in the precious, spotless righteousness of Christ. Fear not. The law has no demands upon us. The wrath of God has no demands upon the believer in Christ, because it was all poured out upon Christ. All poured out on him. That's why we have such freedom, that we don't know how free we are in Christ. Now again, we don't go out and go crazy. We don't do that because the love of Christ constrains us. But oh, the freedom that the believer has in Christ. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. Oh, so verse 10 we see fetch water. Verse 11 we see bring me a morsel of bread. Now think of this. Give me that water which your son and you so much require. She doesn't have nothing. Give away a portion of that last little cake which you intend to eat and die. So there's a taken before there's a given. And this is a demand rather than a gift. And beloved, the gospel says, repent and believe. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And it is Christ and Christ alone who we believe on. And the scriptures also declare, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Spurgeon said this, but the sinner under conviction says, I cannot repent. It's beyond my power. I cannot believe. I would that I could. But this is beyond my reach. Has God asked me to exert a strength which I have not? Does he demand of me that which I cannot give? And notice, though, the woman here did that which she was commanded to do. God's grace makes the unwilling willing. And when God says to a sinner, believe, if that sinner believes, it's not by his own power. It's not by the sinner's power. It's by grace, which goes with the command. And grace enables you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace is a gift from God. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God, when he gives us grace, he gives us faith, and he gives us repentance, that we might say salvation is all of the Lord. It's all of grace. It's all him. It's all him. And it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we see the whole Trinity in action in the salvation of a sinner. God the Father chooses the sinner in Christ in eternity. Christ comes to this world and purchases that sinner by his own precious blood. And in the time of love, God the Holy Spirit regenerates those whom Christ died for, and they're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. There's no argument about it. It's his doing. And if people, that's one thing I don't even debate with people. I don't like to debate anyways. I just proclaim the truth and let it sit. But salvation of the, when men bring up salvation by their decision or by their works, I won't have nothing to do with it. Salvation's of the Lord. All of grace. All of grace. So grace enables you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people are born again by the Holy Spirit, and they are made willing to flee to Christ. And they believe on him by the power of God, that he alone may receive the glory. That he alone may receive the glory. It all goes to him. And note the method here before us was very trying for this widow. The prophet tells her to give me a meal and give me water, and she only had a handful of meal. That's trying. And one commentator brings forth that the barrel afterwards was never filled or empty. Thus, it is the inexhaustible barrel. There was never more than a handful of meal, one of the commentators brought out. Now think of this. Let us see a teaching here before us. we who are the redeemed of the Lord. God gives us what we need daily. Daily. He gives us manna, grace, sufficient for each day. For each day. Strength for the day. Daily grace for daily trials. Daily grace for daily trials. And His mercies are new every morning. Every morning to His people. And His people marvel that this grace and mercy comes to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We just marvel at it. And let us see wisdom here. If the barrel had been full, one commentator said she may have been robbed or even killed for it. She must depend upon God every day. Every day. So we must, beloved. We must depend upon God every day. We have just enough faith. We're given just enough faith for the trials we go through. God gives us grace and strength to keep our hearts focused upon Him. It is He who sustains us. And it is He who day by day gives us grace and gives us a love for Christ. And that's why His grace is sufficient for us every day. Another commentator brings forth that another reason she did not get all the meal at once in quantity, because quantity breeds worms. So too much for the believer can breed a worm called pride. And we start to rely upon our own strength, our own doing. And we got to admit it as believers, we're just as susceptible to that as anyone else. Who's our worst enemy? Self. Is mine. Is mine. I was talking to a dear brother in Christ, a dear preacher brother, and he said, yeah, I'm going to make a sermon on that, but I don't know. He says, that'd be an awful rough one to preach, just on self all the time, man. My goodness. Because we'd all just be on the ground. But oh, what peace the believer has in Christ. What peace. This daily grace which is given to us helps us to not rely upon ourselves, but to rely upon Christ. And He gives us what we need each and every day. Better to have fresh manna every day than to store it up and have it go warm. Better to have fresh water from the Rock of Ages every day. When there is never more than a handful of meal, now think of this too, when there's never more than a handful of meal, it keeps us pleading with God. It keeps us coming to God. It keeps us coming to Him. It keeps us relying upon Him. As we all have, and we are all susceptible to relying upon ourselves. Because we still have this flesh right here that we battle against all the time. All the time. But the Lord tries our faith sometimes and puts us through things to keep us relying upon Him. And who do we give thanks to? The Great Shepherd. He is our shepherd and our provider. Now let's consider our last point, the faithfulness of divine love. Note in our text, in verse 16, the faithfulness of God towards the objects of His divine love. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. Now note, in wonder and awe, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. It didn't fail. There was always a handful of meal. Now let us just stand in awe. This is a miracle. The same way as the ravens feeding Elijah. This is a miracle. We see here God's faithful provision to the objects of his love. People all around him were dying. They were perishing. People in Israel were perishing because of the famine. And God's faithful provision here is not just for the widow to feed her son, but also for Elijah. Three mouths to feed, beloved. Three mouths to feed, and it did not fail. It didn't fail. Think it, there'd be no rain for 3.5 years. Again, many had died, but her son, the widow, and her son, and Elijah, never went hungry. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God's grace and God's provision. And the only reason that they're provided for is because they are objects of divine mercy and love. It's incredible. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 49. And then put your finger in Lamentations chapter 3. Isaiah 49 and Lamentations chapter 3. Now remember, she took from the barrel every single day. And it was never exhausted. Let we who are redeemed remember that no matter what our need is, God is faithful and He gives us what we need. Not always what we want, but He gives us what we need every day. Every day. And I've said it many times, we can look back in our lives and see His faithfulness to us. And we always see it after we go through the storm. Sometimes when we're going through the storm, we don't always see it because we're looking at the circumstances. But He always takes care of His people. Isaiah 49, verse 14 to 16. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." God says that to His people. "I'll never forget you." Behold, look at this. "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Do you remember when Zacchaeus was up the tree and the Lord called him by name? How did he know his name? It was engraven upon the palms of his hands. He's one of his sheep. He knows his people. Let us think this too. God's continuous provision for His people. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Do you know that His manna is new every morning? For yesterday's manna is not for today. And we feast upon the manna of His word and the manna of His grace, which points us to Christ, who is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Read this if you're going through a time of despair. Look at this. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." So he's recalling. "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." So the Lord's compassions never fail. Never. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." We've seen that tonight in our text. God's faithfulness to Elijah, to the widow, and to her son. And it is great. His faithfulness is great. "Great is thy faithfulness. And then the Lord is my portion, saith my soul." This is a redeemed one. saying, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." The believer don't hope in anybody else but Christ. There was a time when we hoped in ourselves. Away with that, we say. Now we hope in Christ and Christ alone. Nowhere else. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You who are a child of God, you who are redeemed of the Lord, again, look at what you've already been through. Look at what He's taken you through. And you know why? It's all because He's faithful. It's all because He's faithful to His people. Have you quit? Others may have stopped. No, He's kept you. And His word says this, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I'll be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Isaiah 43:2. We who believe have daily needs, because our trials and troubles are innumerable. But He is ever with us. He is faithful. He is our faithful God. He's watching over us, and our barrel of meal will never be empty, or cruse of oil will never fail, because He is faithful according to the Word of God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, and then put your finger in Hebrews 6. These will be the last scriptures we'll look at. Psalm 94, verses 17 to 18. "Unless the Lord had been my help," Psalm 94, verse 17, "unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." Oh, I don't think we know this side of eternity how many times the Lord has held us up. My goodness. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Have you ever been atop of a mountain or a tall hill? You always have a better view of the valley, don't you, when you're in the top of a hill or on top of a mountain. You can usually see, on top of the mountain, you can see the whole valley. Top of a hill, if it's by some valleys, you can see the whole valley. Turn to Hebrews 6 and let us climb the mountain of faith in Christ and look at His oath and His promises to us. Because we always have a better view upon the mountain than in the valley. And the valley is the different things we go through in this life. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20. "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee and multiply, and I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Verse 16, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to the end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise," that's His people, that's His elect, "the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation," a strong hope, "who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." I ask you, who's the anchor of your soul? Well, we who believe Christ, it's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the anchor of my soul. He's my hope. He is my hope. He's the anchor of my soul. And look at, "both sure and steadfast." He'll never fail. He'll never lose one of His sheep. He'll get all His redeemed, all He purchased upon the cross. He'll get them. they'd be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. He'd not lose one. Not one. "In which entereth into the veil, and enter into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now there may only be a handful of meal and a drop of oil for us, but let us remember, it's enough. Because Christ is our inexhaustible barrel. And it is in Him we trust. And in Him we have grace. We have grace upon grace. We sang that song. All I need. Is it so for you? I pray it is. I pray the Lord will make it so for you. If it isn't, He must reveal Himself. And He, for the believer, is all we need. Now let us conclude with this. The widow was an object of divine love. And we saw how divine love operated in her life. And we considered divine faithfulness to her. And let we who are redeemed remember, it's the same for us. It's the same for we who believe. Because all we need is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in awe of what we have looked at tonight and the miracle which You wrought. And Lord Jesus, we know that You only give us what we need. And Lord, we are needy people. Each day we need Thy grace, and You give it upon to us. And we know from the Scriptures that Thy mercy and Thy compassion shall never fail towards Your people. And that Your mercies are new every morning. May we who believe marvel in these precious, precious truths. And may we leave here thinking upon Thee, who is our inexhaustible barrel, that all our sins are forgiven in Thee, that all we need, all that a sinner needs, is found in Thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray that You would use this message for Your glory and for Your honor and for Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.